words from the introit from Psalm 66. Rejoice, O Jerusalem, and come together, all you that love her. Rejoice with joy, you that have been in sorrow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we are told to rejoice today on Laetare Sunday. And just as Advent has a midpoint of a Sunday in rejoicing called Gaudete, which also means rejoice, today we have the midpoint of Lent, which tells us to rejoice with the words Laetare. So we are told to experience this emotion of joy. But when we speak of joy, it is always wise that we also consider its opposite, which is sorrow. And it's a fact that those that have experienced sorrow can experience joy better. Imagine if we only had joy, no sorrows. Those joys would be shallower and not as meaningful. It is, again, those that have experienced the opposite of joy, which is sorrow, that can truly experience greater aspects, you might say, of joy. And we look at our life here on earth, we see that our lives have both joys and sorrows. We tend to associate pleasure with joy. It's a pleasant emotion. And we associate sorrow with pain and suffering. Sorrow is not a pleasurable emotion. And yet this is the way it necessarily must be in life. It's only in heaven that we will have total joy. Uninterrupted joy. But we cannot have this in this veil of tears, as we call it. That's what it is, a veil of tears. So in a sense, there are more sorrows than joys. But there's also this juxtaposition or paradox that we can have both joys and sorrows. I can't remember where St. Paul says this, but he says, as sorrowing yet always rejoicing. So there's that paradox. It's not a contradiction. The emotions themselves can't be equated with each other. But we can have joys in ways that we do not have sorrows, and vice versa. So even though we have these sorrows and sufferings of life, we can nevertheless experience a spiritual kind of joy. So as St. Paul says, as sorrowing, yet always rejoicing. What I would like to do today, because I do want to always give a sermon on St. Joseph during the month of March, I would like to reflect on the seven sorrows and seven joys of St. Joseph. And they're listed in the bulletin. And the church tells us that we can specifically honor him according to these joys and sorrows. There are devotions that are written up to honor St. Joseph as he experienced the sorrows of his life and the joys of his life. So this way I can speak about St. Joseph. So if you wish to follow along, you can read this in the bulletin, but you see this is a very great correlation between each of the joys and the sorrows. So, for example, the first sorrow, when he found out that Mary was expecting, it was not revealed to him right away what had happened. And this was causing him anguish, sorrow, and suffering. He was going to make Our Lady look good. He knew that she couldn't have committed a sin. But he was going to sacrifice his reputation for her, as the gospel tells us. So he's going through this sorrow, this anguish. And they were married. We know that. They were betrothed and then married. But it was, of course, a virginal marriage in which they would continue to practice their vows of virginity. And so he's in anguish and sorrow about this, doing what an honorable, loving, self-sacrificing husband would do. And then the angel appears to him and says, "Be not afraid, for this is of the Holy Ghost." He reveals to Saint Joseph that this is the Savior of the world, that this is God made man. And so now this incredible sorrow and anguish of Saint Joseph is changed into this most exuberant joy. But you see, God allowed him. He needed to suffer first. He needed to go through that sorrow, that pain. The second sorrow, when Jesus was lying in an impoverished manger. Every good father yearns to be that good provider for his family. He labors, he sacrifices. It's for his family. And Saint Joseph would have this instinct too, to give Jesus the best place in which to be born, the best home or structure. And yet he has to suffer seeing him being put in a feeding trough for animals, a manger. It was the best that he and Mary had. He had to suffer that. He had to go through that sorrow. But then the joy of Christmas night, seeing the shepherds come to adore, seeing the wise men come to adore, understanding this is all part of the plan. God came in poverty to teach us to be detached from the things of this world. So again, the anguish, the joy. The third sorrow, the sight of Jesus' blood at the circumcision. As we know, this is one of the most fundamental, important Mosaic laws. He saw Jesus suffering and he suffers. But then he has the privilege, he with Mary, to bestow the name of Jesus upon him. It's like correlates with baptism. That's where the name is officially bestowed in a sacramental way upon the child. And this goes to show, imagine the dignity, the holiness of a man whose duty it is to bestow the name upon the incarnate God. It will be his duty to raise Jesus, to protect Jesus, to command Jesus. He's the head of the Holy Family. So we're talking about the greatest saint in heaven after Our Lady, who, of course, is above Saint Joseph in holiness and dignity. The fourth sorrow, when hearing the prophet Simeon talk about the sword of sorrow that would go through Our Lady's heart, and empathetically, this is what empathy means, is you experience the sufferings of others. The more you love them, the more you suffer with them when they are suffering. So he hears that Mary's heart, her soul is going to be transfixed by the sword of sorrow, and Saint Joseph is going through this tremendous suffering as well. But then there's a joy there. This divine infant will be the salvation of many. The fifth sorrow, the flight into Egypt. Can you imagine, parents, you can imagine this better than others. You have to run with your child because if the soldiers catch up with you, they're going to kill your child. That's literally what Our Lady and St. Joseph had to go through. You would defend your children with your life. St. Joseph would have done that, no doubt. But as it was, Jesus was going to escape to Egypt. And then they are in this strange land. But you know, one of the joy of St. Joseph, seeing the idols of the Egyptians falling, literally falling over, and the pagan Egyptians couldn't figure out what was going on. That would have been a sight to see. But seeing those false gods being toppled, that was a joy. It was helping demolish false worship and helping turn people more to the true God. The sixth joy, the fear of the tyrant Archelaus. But here again, the angel tells him, go back to Israel. There's still that fear. But then they establish their home again in Nazareth. Actually, this is the first time they are at Nazareth since Joseph and Mary left Nazareth to go to Bethlehem for the census. They could not go back to Nazareth, so they hadn't been there for maybe a year or two, maybe more. But just living with Jesus and Mary, would that not be the most amazing joy? And then finally, this seventh sorrow, the loss of the child Jesus. Again, I think of this as a parent's worst nightmare, to not know where a child is. But the joy that came with that was the finding of the child Jesus and knowing that that was all part of the plan. He was supposed to remain behind. He was supposed to, at 12 years of age, be instructing the scribes and wise men of the temple. So there we have it, the sorrows and joys of St. Joseph. And as you can see, you can take inspiration for the sorrows and joys of your life. St. Joseph went through it. Our Lady went through it. Our Lord went through it. Let us try not to look at suffering and sorrow as a horribly negative thing, because great spiritual good comes through it. We call it carrying the cross. When we think of the life of St. Patrick, and yes, I'm glad to include a reference to St. Patrick, since we're celebrating his feast day this weekend as well. Remember, he was captured when he was a boy. He wasn't born in Ireland, but he was brought to Ireland as a slave, and he suffered. He had sorrow. And he, so often, he's out under the elements of the weather. He's told to be a shepherd. And fortunately, after some years, he's able to escape and go back home. But do you know what happened in that time of great trial for him? He found God in a way he had never found before. And he developed a love for the Irish people that made him want to go back to the country where he had been a slave and had suffered so much. He went back there and he transformed that island into a Catholic Isle of Holiness. But it wouldn't have happened, would it? Or very likely wouldn't have happened if he hadn't gone through that intense time of sorrow and suffering. That was the good that came from it, and the love that kept growing for the Irish people. So to sum up, let us rejoice today. And what should we always rejoice in? I'll leave you with this thought. Enjoy the things, not that are necessarily pleasing to you, but that are pleasing to God. If it ever involves displeasing God, we reject it out of hand. Let us rejoice. Let us enjoy in those things that please God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.